This morning we would like to take it in a collective sense. How can I be spiritual and yet at the same time in the midst of the people of God in the assembly? And we shall follow on by the help of God to the cost and then end with a challenge. And some of you who might be at Garland will take up the commission of our Lord first and foremost in the morning, God willing. Now, for a start, let's turn to the Manual on Missions, the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And we're reading in chapter 2. It's already been referred to, so I knew I had the key. Acts chapter 2, and we shall break in at verse 41 through to 47. We'll touch lightly on beginning and end and concentrate on 42. Then, Acts chapter 2, verse 41, then they that gladly received his word, that is, they welcomed it into his heart, they were baptized. The same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfast. No. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then the sequel. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together, had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, to eat their food with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, how simple the word of God. And we're just speaking about boxes. There's three of them down there. Well, let me tell you, folks, one of these days, if the Lord doesn't come, we'll be taken off in a box. And the only thing that you'll take out of Texas, and the only thing you'll ever take out of this world, is what you've learned of God. How important to get to the Word of God. And so here we have the commencement, the Pentecostal church, its birthday, its badge, its beneficence, and so on. But it's all here. And the whole book of Acts is a pattern for all who serve. What was the secret of those early believers? What marked them out as so different from other people with whom they lived? Well, they happened to belong to a certain type of brethren. So having been all over the world and having served God in many places, people often ask me, "Hey, what church do you belong to?" What do you tell them? Well, I have my answer. I belong to the Continuing Brethren. You know any of them here? And instead of continuing steadfast, burying their head as an ostrich in the sand, they're wide awake to the day in which we live. They are alert. And they are seeking to do what they can while they can as they wait for their Lord from heaven. And these Christians, they continued steadfastly in four things. You ever wondered why it's four things? Well, why do you have east, west, north, and south? You know it's universal. Why is it that we come to this wonderful book called the Bible, and God has given us the founder of Christianity and the Gospels, but now he talks about the followers, then he talks about the fundamentals, and then he leads us to the future? And that's why when Paul was here on the earth, the first thing that God built into his life was the great doctrine, Jesus is coming, sing the glad word. How did he end? Study his pattern. Because as he learned of God and understood something of the cross. Then, as he reached his end of his life, it was the congregation, and as a true shepherd under God, he sought to do all he could to feed the flock of God and to do everything he could in his power while he was alive to stir up the dying embers and put heart and life into the people so that they might go out and serve. What's nearest to my heart? Jesus is coming. I could spend hours on it. But we're here this morning to concentrate the nearest and dearest thing to the heart of God. What is it? It's a church which he purchased with his own blood. And when you read of the church in the Bible, God forbid that you should think of a building like this. It's a living organism. And it's something that has its root and foundation in the blood of Christ. And the only way you'll be brought into it and get into line with the mind and heart of God is by His Spirit. And that's why He's left us the Bible. And so you see, doctrine was to be their establishment. Fellowship, their enjoyment. The breaking of bread. The expression of their faith. Do I really love the Lord? Well, I've missed the breaking of bread now for 5 weeks. And I like to be there unless I've got a broken leg or something really wrong. And how can I prove my love to my absent Lord? Remember me. Not when you think. Not certain times during the year. But as often. And then what does it end up with? Well, it ends up with prayers. That's my enablement. And you see, warfare is left to the last. The Word of God is first. You've got to get your priorities. And that's why we come to the good Word of God. And here's four simple things. And when I think of the marvel of God's Word, I just wonder, and I just bow at His feet, because I'm just beginning to learn something, and it'll be time to put me in a box. But the lovely thing about it is that the richness and the deepness and the preciousness of real, true life that is life indeed is a discovery of God. Do you know Him better this year, young man, than you did last time, year this time? I hope so. Is God more real to me as an older man than when I arrived in the city of Dallas and I didn't know a soul but God? I'll never forget my feelings. And some of you are here this morning, you can remember. We even met a girl, and of all things, her name was Curl. Imagine that. All through life, I could never forget my first impressions in coming into a city like Dallas before it got its universal fame known from one end of the world to the other because of what happened in the city with JFK. But I happened to come to a place called Dallas for a purpose, to get a little better knowledge of my God. So people ask me, what church do you belong to? I just tell them I belong to the continuing church, and then I get into it. And I quote the Word of God. Then they ask me, what seminary did you go to? Oh, that's easy. I went to Fish Seminary and had a whale of a time. I know where I've come from. And when I graduated with high honors, they wanted to make me a professor and teach me, a teacher, and get my doctor's degree. I said, I have other things in mind. I'm going to the mission field. And I was never built for the mission field because of my constitution and my background. And after 40 years, I testify that having obtained help from God, I continue to this day. And I'm at home here in Dallas. because we went from Believers on Fitzhugh to Polk Street, and now we're Wheatlands, Duncanville. And there's such a thing as being at home among the people of God and at rest in the fellowship, because I've never sought the acclaim of men and what they have to offer. But what I have sought is what God's Word says, and how to live, and how to walk, and how to serve. Where do you get your finance? Where do you get your money? How are you sustained? How do they run that place? And who could believe it, that after all these years, arriving in British Columbia. Why are we in British Columbia? Because we're both tropical plants, and we spent all our lives in warm countries. And my wife's an MK, a missionary kid. Father, mother served God for years and years in Angola, the McLaren family. Some of you know Bob. And we couldn't go to a cold place like where I was born in Ontario. So we settled for one of the best places, because I had come down with illness in North Carolina. And we had a taste of the United States and its medical setup. And if you listen to the great debate over TV the other night, you'll know something about the medical setup in this country. But I was a Canadian, and if I was going to have trouble, it's best to get to Canada. And there's no place in the whole of the North America that looks after people like the Canadians when it comes to sickness. Because I landed in the hospital, and now after 7 trips to the Royal Jubilee and 2 operations, they're trying to bring a little help to me and keep me alive for a little bit longer. I've been absolutely wondering, what would it cost me, $40,000 here? My gold card covers it, and we have no insurance, and we have no resources or refunds or anything to do with past work where you can draw. How do we live? The same way as the early Christians lived. Those who left all to follow Him and serve Him. And what have we proved? We have proved that God is no man's debtor, and we have proved that we have the best of all in this life and the best of all which is to come. And so we come to the Word of God, and here we have a book that teaches me all about my Christian faith. Here we have a book that ends on a glorious note. How did Paul finish? He was under house arrest. But did it shut his mouth? Did it put a zipper on him? No! He preached the kingdom of God. He taught about the Lord Jesus, His unsearchable riches. And he was confident. And no man forbade him. And if you want a little understanding of the things of God, study. And what's in the center of this book? Well, the people were first called what at Antioch? Christian. And the whole book, even though it's only a generation, it sets before us in such a masterful way. My foundation as a Christian, I'm in the Church of God. I belong to the body of Christ. I'm endued by the Holy Spirit of God. Well, then, how should I live? How should I carry on? I happen to be in an assembly. I happen to be an old man. I'm coming into an assembly of over 100 years old and still going on. Sure, they've had their problems. Sure, they've had their diotrephes. Sure, they've had their young uppies coming in to demonstrate and present a new approach. That's quite common to life. But you can't change the Bible. And that's why, if we heard last night an average attendance of 76, well, you take, I've got some of my own children in the faith, and one of them has a church where there's over 3,000 every Sunday morning. Go to Tucson, Arizona, and meet them. And then I have a Muslim brother who's come to Christ, and he's done more for Muslims than many of the men that I know over the world. But what he's established under God? Well, Stuart has his way. And Gerhard has his way. They might not see the same way as I do according to the scriptures. But if you know of any better pathway for God's people, or any better way of gathering than unto the name of the Lord Jesus, then come forth. I'd like to learn from you. I used to sit with these fellows by the hour and then walk to the little Fitzhugh chapel. And I would talk with Louis far into the night. And John. Well, look at the difference of their past today and their ministry. And it's rather amazing. And here's a book that sets forth in a marvelous way the faith once for all delivered to the saints. What is it all about? Well, the way this book begins. See, this book begins in Jerusalem, the religious city, ends in the imperial city, Rome. Then, what do you have in between? Well, you've got four men that are listed, and they have left their stamp for time and for eternity on anything pertaining to the spiritual. And then you have the fourfold way that Peter preached, and I'd like to learn to preach that way. Then you have the marvelous detailed plan of God when he raises up a man like Peter, and all the emphasis, Jewish. Then he raises up a man like Paul, and all the emphasis, the Gentile. Then he has a plan in view. How can the black man be reached? How can the brown man be reached? How can the white man be reached? And it's all in marvelous detail set forth in Acts 8 and 9. And what some of the Christians thought, these men should be helpers in the church, God had something far different. So he raised up a man like Philip. The stamp of God was upon him as a missionary. Then he raised up a man like Stephen, the man with the shining face, Stephanos, the one with the garland round his neck. He received the gold. And thank God, there you have the first martyr. And as you make your way, you see how God starts. That God himself should descend from heaven to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. The cross was God's great secret. Study Romans 16:25 and see. To the Jew a stumbling block, to the Gentile folly. But to a believer, to me, it's the very wisdom of God. The power of God. That the Son of God should rise after 3 days and after 40 days ascend to heaven. The resurrection and ascension are among the foundation facts. This is right on the opening verses. Then the Holy Spirit should be poured out from heaven, baptizing every believer into the body of Christ, indwelling each. Then this same Jesus will come again. And if you want it in modern language, in my language, what have you got? You've got the four cardinal facts on which Christianity is built. And what are they? The descent. The ascent. The advent. And what's the last one? The accent of the Holy Spirit of God. And it's not by might nor by power that you're going to get the work done for God. It's not by your technique. It's not by your know-how. It's not by your personality. God can use you. He can use me. Because there's a work for Jesus none but you can do. You got your place. And I don't want to steal any of your thunder. And you come back to this country, it's enough to break your heart. And you go among the assemblies of God's people. And then you know, this is my work, brother. And you can't go places like you used to go. And it's just like out in Africa, because Grace and I used to often get fed up with the human species, so do you. What do? We go up and see some of God's creatures. And we used to have wonderful times, even take our breakfast, sit out there and watch the lions come, sit among the giraffes again and again. And we'd have a little quiet time with God and right out in the wilds. And I come back to a place like this, this one vying for that, this one going after that. There's very few preachers that ever esteem another better than themselves. And there's very few who ever rise up to be a help to someone else that might be in need. But we have lived on the mission field. We left everything to follow God years ago. And what have we proved? There's no one in all of God's universe like Jesus Christ. There's no book in all the world like the Bible. And listen, it's like the real estate. He says, have you got any money? I said, look, we just come from Africa. We don't know anybody but God. Well, he says, I happen to be a Christian. He says, there's a little place that it might be ideal for you to, you're old. And he says, I guarantee you, I've known the Lord for over 30 years. If you live in this city, you'll meet some of the loveliest people over the earth. And you know what Gordon said was absolutely true. Because I didn't know where to go. And when I came to Dallas, I didn't know where to go. So I put my bag in and I got settled on a Saturday afternoon. And I took a walk. And I came walking and walking and walking. And I found Fitzhugh. And I found a little gospel chapel. And I stood out in front of it. And there it was. And I said, Lord, maybe you've led us there. This might be the place. And I arrived the next morning for breaking of bread. And never can I forget Ed Davis, George, and John Dean, and a few others. And they gave me the right hand of fellowship. They didn't know me from a bar of soap. But they welcomed me. And I had letters, of course. And I had a little bit of gift and so on. But that wasn't the thing. They received me. And what I found away, 1,800 miles away, in the city where the telephone was invented, there I found an open door. And now, all these years have passed by, over 50. And my wife and I arrived in a city, which is such a beautiful part of the world. We didn't know much about it. We didn't know anybody. We knew one or two Christians, of course, by name, but not knowing them. And I thought, well, where should we go? So I thought, well, we've got an opportunity. I know what I'll do. I'll go to all the different places in the city. There's about six of them. And I did. And we left this last one. It was called Victoria Gospel Chapel. And you know, when I walked in that morning with my wife, and we sat down, and they were remembering the Lord. I knew I was in the presence of the Lord. Why? Because so many of these people have come from the various parts of Canada because of the cold. They've settled in a milder climate, a maritime climate, and they intend to end their days in this particular place. And I knew at once. But that wasn't all. One of the men said to me, Brother Les, we have a little men's group. We're all old buddies. But we have a little prayer meeting every Tuesday, and we bring a sandwich. I call it the synagogue sandwich. So we go along, and there I met seven or eight men. And one, oh, he's only 94. He's only 90. These fellas are 80. I'm really young alongside of these fellas, over 75. And I got among them, and I've been going ever since. And I think that's what holds the meeting together, because these men are all farmers. They've come from the West. They've settled in this place. And while all do not come out of the nucleus of less than 100, here we have 10 to 15 men. And we have a little time of fellowship for a couple of hours. And then we get down to business. Isn't God kind? Now I've met Brother Ben. And I've met Brother John. And Brother Stan. Why, these men I haven't known. They said you can't make friends when you're old. You can't see or influence people after certain years, the philosophy of this age. And yet now, it's like the commander of the Navy. He sat with me the other afternoon when I was lying in bed. And this was Wednesday. And he said, oh, that's just the fellowship to fellowship. And these are men who know God. They really love God. Are they great preachers? Are they great teachers? No, they're like you. Just ordinary. But they still have the stamp of God about them. And that's what these people had. See, they continued in four things. What was the first one? The Word of God. They had a love for the Bible. And that's why we should have a love for the Word of God. Because it is a handbook which we can turn for counsel. You've read this in some of my writings. It's a guidebook in which we can find direction for the journey of life. It's a checkbook whose promises will be honored to every believer. It's a hymn book containing inspiring songs of praise. It's a history book reporting the past. It's a prophecy book foretelling the future. And the more you get into it, the more you'll learn to love it. And forever God has settled it. And this world will pass away and everything will go, but the Word of God remains. And it's the Word of God that builds. It's the Word of God that establishes. It's the Word of God that teaches you in the way that you should go. It's the Word of God that comforts you. What was my greatest comfort when I was going down through the valley of incision? And I had day after day to lie. Guess what? The two chapters that meant more to me during the little time that I've been in Sheepville. What were they? Psalm 22, Psalm 69. And if you have an understanding of Psalm 22, the breathings of our Lord, and Psalm 69, you will find that these were His words, His last words, as He breathed out His life on a cross. And He covers the king and the kingdom. He covers the Christ and the cosmos. And He deals with every subject in the universe as He's dying on the cross. And He links Himself with five creatures. And He testifies as to the abandonment of God, as to the abhorrence of men, and the attack of the evil one. And that's why He's seen as the deer of the dawn, and we've lived in Africa to know something about it, as the worm. The only man that God ever called a worm was Jacob. And He talks about the Gentile dogs, and He talks about the bulls of Bashan, and He talks about the lion and the horns of the unicorn, the wild buffalo. By the time you get through reading of the cross and all its woe, what a picture. Then you come to Psalm 69 and see how the whole thing is so different, and how there you see the curse of God that's going to fall upon this godless universe, and how the purposes of God are all going to be realized in the coming day. And God hath determined that Jesus Christ, whom He raised from the dead, is the sovereign, and He's sufficient. He's Lord. He's Christ. And all the promises and plans of God are all bound up in this one glorious person. And that's the Word of God that I'm to continue in. I'm to get to know the Lord. I'm to understand the Lord. That's why I determined I'd get to know the Word God. I'd get determined to get to know the Word Jehovah. And I'd get determined to know what it means El Shaddai, the God of the breast, the sovereign God, and the compound names of Jehovah, and so on. And while I was in Israel, I left no stone unturned that I'd get a grasp of the language and a grasp of the Book of God. And now, at this time in life, it fills my brain, it fills my heart, and I bow in adoration. Behold the book whose leaves display Jesus, the life, the truth, the way. Read it with diligence and prayer, and you'll always find Him there. And the whole idea of B-I-B-L-E, be instructed before leaving earth. And where do you get it? The Word. Do I have a love for the Word of God? How do you get a love for the Word of God? Live according to the Word. That's why after I got through doing Psalm 119, 15 years of work, then it was going to be taken to the printers through one of our friends. The thief came along, stole the whole works out of this fellow's, because I didn't even have an extra copy. That's years ago. And the little bits of pieces that I put together, the goodness of God, they've all been put into five countries in the world and all the schools and places of education. And all of them have been passed by the government. Why? because in my day and generation they had nobody to teach in the schools. Here they've thrown the Word of God out. Prayer is gone. But out in Africa the door was so wide open, it was amazing. And even the educational officials and the heads of government helped me. And Dr. Kawunda, the president of Zambia, stood right behind me and helped me. And my book, little books, began to get into all the schools and pioneered the way for the Word of God getting among the boys and girls. And those were the years that were so enriching. Because in Dallas, I used to wonder how to get acquainted with God, how to get to know God, and then what to do with it. And you know something about God? Well, speak a word for Him. You know you have an understanding of the Lord. Get to know Him, and then out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak it. And so the first thing is teaching. And it's not to fill your head with this, that, and the other. You're to know it in the heart. You're to store it in your heart. You know it up here, but store it down here. Hide it. Treasure it. And then you're to show it in your life and use it as seed. Wherever you go, sow it. And it won't return void. And what have I got to give to this poor, godless world in the kind of age I'm living? I've got nothing. I haven't any silver. I haven't any gold. But I've got Christ. How do you get in love with Christ? Well, I didn't mind crying when the Spirit of God opened my eyes to see Jesus at a young people's camp. And as I stood, as I thought, at the cross where I first saw the light, the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And I sprang up with joy. I got it. I got it. I got it. And I've never lost the wonder of being a Christian. Have you? And you know, sometimes I get down on my knees. Soon as the morn breaks or wherever it is, when morning gilds the eastern skies, my heart awakening cries, "Oh Lord, I thank you." I've never got over the wonder of being a Christian. Because it's a work of God. It's a miracle. And I've had it for over 45 years. Of course, I haven't always lived in the enjoyment. But you see, they were to continue in the Word of God. They were to continue steadfastly. That's with perseverance, because it takes that. It takes a grit and grace. It takes tenacity. It takes, like Daniel, a purpose of heart. It takes, like Caleb, integrity of spirit. We must have certain qualifications. And I've never found it easy being a Christian. Some Christians are like the students when we were in Dallas. They were like rivers. That is, they like to lie in their bed and continue their course. But you can't do that. You have to get up. And you have to go. And that's why, as you put in, you get, you do. And you put your life at the disposal of God. Say, "Lord, I don't know very much, but you help me. I can't hold very much, but you can fill me and you can use me." And so I'm to continue in this, and I'm to continue in fellowship. And some people, all they think about fellowship is two fellows in the same ship going the same way. But fellowship comes from the Hebrew word to join. That's where you get the word fellowship. That's why Caleb got it. He knew what he was doing. He had it as his possession. And if I want fellowship with the Son, if I want to know something of the fellowship of suffering with other Christians, if I want to know something of the fellowship of the Spirit, if I want to know something of the fellowship of the Supper, the Lord's Supper, if I want to know something of the fellowship of substance, where do I learn it? Start with God. And get into fellowship. Because one of God's desires is that He might have fellowship with His people. And if there's one thing God desires, you might get to know Him. That you might know. That you might know this is eternal life. And Jesus Christ whom He has sent. And this is life eternal. That you might know, as the psalmist says, the Lord is God. How many of you have ever studied the Lord? How many of you ever studied God? I was speaking to a group of children not so long ago. Didn't know what to take up with them. But they're utter heathen and not knowing they're coming from all different backgrounds. So I just said, "Let's talk about God tonight." And what a lesson. Even the study of God, just to begin to open up. and it may be like a rock to some of you, but as it opens up, the honey and the life and the light and the streams of blessing flow out, and you discover, as for God, His way is perfect. There's none I desire but Thee, O Lord. There's nobody like Thee. And the more you begin to get to know God as the eternal, the omnipotent, the omniscient, the omnipresent, and then you get to know Him as Father, you get to know Him as prophet and a priest and a king, and you get to know Him in such a wonderful way that from your very being, oh Lord, heaven above is softer blue, earth around is sweeter green, something lives in every hue Christless eyes have never seen. Birds with gladder song or flowers with deeper beauty shine. Now I know you're God. And I'm just a poor creature of the dust. But God has breathed into my heart by His Spirit, and I've entered into a fellowship. And mid scenes of confusion and creature complaints, how sweet to the soul is the fellowship of saints. Why do I love God's people? Oh boy, some of them are ornery. To dwell with them in heaven above, that's glory. But to dwell with some below, that's another story. But nevertheless, we have God. And what a difference. And He puts up with me, He puts up with you. And He loves us. He loves us. He loves us. I've never gotten over the wonder of it. He cares for us. He's provided for us. And I believe He's got everything arranged for us. And I believe He leaves no stone unturned to do the best, because my life begins in grace. I'm married to grace. But this is the grace of God. And it ends in glory. And what about in between? The three G's? No good thing will He withhold from them that walketh uprightly. Absolutely true. And so here it's fellowship, breaking of bread. Why is it that I'm found among a people? The central thing seems to be the breaking of bread. Now, I know the pros of God. That's not the thing. The idea is that He's gone back to heaven, and He asked us to remember Him. And that's what I'd like to do. It's not how I feel or how many times. It's just a love for my absent Lord. And through the week, I'm gleaning. Through the week, I'm gathering spoil. Through the week, my heart is indicting good matter. And I've proved that with these men. And I've proved that in the mission field. And then when you come together on a Sunday morning, and men who walk with God and women who never open their mouth, sometimes it's because of them that the meeting is so precious, because they know so much more of God. And on the mission field, it's always the same way as a Mary and a Martha and only one Lazarus. And I have always believed that the best is good enough for God. The best is of the brain, the best of the heart, and anything that we have for God. And that's what they did in the early church. And I believe the best should be reaching out. And if we don't go out, we'll die out. And so here you have the breaking of bread. And many a time I've come in and maybe feeling a little bit low. But after the breaking of bread, I've gone away with the desire born of God to tell the world that Jesus lives. That's my accent, like this book. He's alive. But He promised He'd come again. What's the last thing? Well, I've got pages on it here. It's prayer. I don't know too much about it. But I've learned a secret. I met God in the morning when the day was at its best. And His presence has come like sunrise with glory in my breast. And I've discovered in sickness and sorrow, in health and strength, in times of joy, in times of great need, I've discovered that when you go down on your knees, oh Lord, help me. And I take the word of God, His promise, and I bring them right back to God. This is what You said, Lord. You would strengthen me. You would help me. And You would uphold me. And I just rest it with Thee. Prove Thyself. You promised to meet this need. My little books that have gone all over and have now been printed again in the United States of all things. Oh, what a story. Oh, it's in His hands. And oh, the ways of God are so different from men. And that's why my heart's desire, my prayer to God, that here's four things. My love to my Lord, the Word of God. My love to His people, the fellowship that I have. If everybody in my assembly was just like me,
What would our assembly be? You answered.
Mr. Dear Brother, away over in Scotland, going to visit. He gave me a little card, and that was on it. If everybody in my assembly was just like me, what kind of an assembly would it be? Ask it. I just would like to be a testimony, that's all. And that's the key of this book. To be a witness for God, and it might cost me my life. And now, sometimes I think that the trouble that we've been going through, maybe we picked up something in Africa that's rotting our inside. How do we know? But our times are in God's hand. And I'm going to pray about it, whether it's small, whether it's great. And so, my beloved brethren, I ask you, are you continuing? Are you among the continuing brethren? Are you continuing in the faith, the grace of God? And are you continuing in the things that have been outlined for us in the Holy Scriptures of truth? Well, this is our desire, and we trust is your desire. And now, may the good hand of God be upon you, and let's not be weary in well-doing, for we shall reap if we faint not.